Teresa Joy.
Not Teresa Joy.
The Ishbitz Rebbe asked for Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. He said, why is it that a Kohen doesn't make a bracha? A special bracha because of the holiness of being chosen as a Kohen. Kohen is a very special Kohen. Why should he make no bracha? Why? So Tzadik said something very, very interesting. He said, what's he supposed to say? He can't say, Shalai Yisrael Yisrael, because he is a Jew. You didn't make me a Jew. I am a Jew. It's a special Jew. Tzadik was a Kohen. He said, so what do you want? He should say that you made me a Kohen? He said, Hashem gave him the ability to become a Kohen and to do a voter like he should. But he doesn't do it right. He's no Kohen. He's only has potential. It's not actualized at all. So, also he can mess it up. A Kohen kills in cold blood, for example, he loses the ability to do a voter. He can't do anything. He's done. That's self-defense. There are different halachas, however it work out. But generally speaking, if it's whatever happens, he can. There are ways for him to blow it and mess up. There are ways that he can fix. There are ways that he can't fix. So that's in terms of the Kohen. The gate, he has to get there also. He has to become a Kohen. You make yourself a Kohen, as we say, well, with Hashem's help, but you have to work and make yourself. So there's no bracha you could say it. So now we know that there is a bracha, there is an interesting dispute going on now, and it's an old question. I've been hearing about it for a while. Should one say Shalai Sami Goy? How can you say, but didn't make me a non-Jew? It doesn't sound nice.
According to who? The Goyim?
No, that's a good question.
The Nazis?
You're right.
The
no, you're
Reform
right.
And
you're right.
Conservative
you
Jews?
Know according to who?
The liberal Jews?
You know what? You know why? You know why this question came up for me? There's two reasons, really. One reason is because you don't want to be in a place where it's hard to understand what you're talking about. Someone can misunderstand you with great ease. Even if he's outside, he's not Jewish. He's a regular guy. He thinks whatever he thinks. He's going through what he wants. And he's like, what's the deal? You don't want to be like me? Like what? It's a little weird. That's one point. That's one reason. There's another reason, which is that because there's such a liberal more out there, because people are so into liberal things, so it's sort of rubbing off. Even people who are pretty religious, maybe more modern and maybe not, they have a big question mark about it. Like, why should my husband say, but thank Hashem for not making him like me? What's going on? So, and why should we say, also, why should we also say, you should make me a Gentile, not like my non-Jewish neighbors? Why? What, he's, my biased or something? So, it's interesting, the first element of Shalai Sami Goy, this might be longer than today's session, we'll see. But the first thing we have to realize is, Rabbi Nachman explained, you can have a guy in China, or in India, or wherever he is, and he can be a bona fide, real deal, 100% genuine idolater. He's doing it the wrong way, however you want to do it, or Haiti, I don't know where he is. Wherever these places are, and he's like killing animals for his idols, whatever he's doing, or whatever he's exactly doing, right? And burning women, who knows, for there, who knows, whatever exactly. Her husband died, so now she has to burn him or something. They have this, whatever they believe. Huh? Okay, so that's the end of the. The first thing you have to know is this person, if he did something genuinely good, because he wanted to help, sincerely help someone, he wanted to bring God into the world and bring good into the world, even though he doesn't even know what that means, he has forged an eternal connection to Hashem. He has eternity. So God forbid, trying to denigrate anyone and say, he's not good, he is good. Now, it used to be, there was something called a mullah. We don't understand what a Malik is, but one thing we know, they somehow managed to be so religious that everything was their religion. And because their religion was bringing your fortune up and getting things in this world, whatever it might be, if it's whatever their occult things, whatever it is, it's more mostly focused on this world or on real nonsense in the next world. So they felt that, you want, for example, your chariot in the sky, you have to be very careful not to do anything that doesn't build that. So if you're so religious and you believe that, for example, doing kindness or helping someone is stupid, is ruining your karma and is destroying your ability to come to a good end or something, whatever they believe, and you're really, really religious, you can blow it. You can blow it and really do nothing good, because, you know, I believe the opposite. I mean, this is not good. I'm an idiot if I help someone, like stone. They help someone. They had no understanding. They had understanding. We are judgments. This is how we act. And this is how we fall down. Blah blah blah. But that's not really. That's not true. So, since Western values have taken over a great deal of the world, that's hard to find. I think we'd be hard pressed to find people who are just not good. And there are a lot of places also where there are idolaters, but not idolaters like the Milton idolaters there were. And during the times of our sages in various places that they were in contact with. So. What's the, you know, he's a kind of, calm kind of person, trying to bring down divinity or whatever he's trying to do and helping people, that's his purpose, and that's so bad, you know, it could be worse. There's something called Tchiyas HaMeisim. That means the body gets up. And it's a much, much greater level which we can't begin to understand. This is something that's called Olam Haba. It's Gan Eden Olam Haba. Gan Eden is the world for souls. This person we're talking about, this non-Jew, who didn't make it to Olam Haba, but his soul is not junked. You can only junk a soul that 24/7 you never did anything sincerely good for Hashem. Even one sincerely good desire. Like I said, it's hard to see anybody hitting this place from our perspective. So every person, he's precious and valuable, and he's not, he shouldn't feel like, you know, he's bad or we're writing him off. Saying, you know, they have like, you meet people, it's unbelievable, religious people, and you feel like if he had one big wastebasket, he'd like crumple up all these souls and just throw them all in, and you're like, listen my friend, you're way off, way, like, you know what you're talking about. People are so used to being persecuted from however many years ago that they just kept on to that Doris mentality or something. They're like, really, you know, relax, take it easy, it's too much. So on the one hand, we're not trying to say this person is a lowly, God forbid, and as we know, the Hasidim Masolim, the people who are pious, who are not Jews, they're going to make it to Olam Haba just like a Jew. Maybe in some differences, or whatever that may be, whatever that what is. But bottom line is that he's going to get there, he probably will get up. It's not like you say, you're never going to make it, you cured him. It's not true at all. On the contrary, the way Nahum explains, that unless a person managed to get the gold and become a malik, I'm like, never do anything good, whoever he is, his soul is not destroyed. I don't care who he is, I don't care what he's done, it doesn't ruin that good, that one good point. So now, Seish Los Nigoy is the realization and understanding that the fact that I'm a Jew is a special gift from Hashem. It's just a gift. That's what it comes down to. And being a Jew, you know, the Maral, beautiful Maral had a lot of exchanges with a priest. They say his name was Thaddeus. Maybe, I don't know. So, this priest wanted the Jews converted or out of Prague. That was his goal. Prague was a very ancient city with a lot of Jewish people, a lot of Jewish families. And he had the ability before the ruler. The ruler was, you know, fair. But if he could prove, as it were, that his religion is right and that Judaism is wrong, so then he had the right to. Then they're being just stubborn, and we have the right to make a decree and to either convert the Jews or throw them out, and of course, basically keep all their property, which is a tremendous incentive for finding a way to get the decree going, because you get very, very wealthy. Some went to the church, some went to the monarchy, so it was a very good, it was a great deal. So he went to the Maral and he said, what makes you think your people are chosen? You guys are chosen. How are you chosen? Very fine, tongues over. It's a very, very powerful and important point. Very, very important. So what's chosen about you? So the Maral said, what do you mean, where are they chosen? Hashem chose us. Believe in the Bible. Nah, maybe you were chosen. Even for the brothers, you sold Yosef. Always fighting in the desert with Hashem, with each other. Except Moshe, nothing. I mean, come on, you guys. Everyone chosen. Everyone knows Jews. They can't get along so easy. They're really strong-willed, willful people, stiff-necked people. So I mean, like, come on, we're much more classed than the docile non-Jews, so we're the real thing now. And maybe you were, I don't know. I don't know what happened exactly. But you were obviously rejecting me, isn't it obvious? He said, no, it's not why. We fight, it's true, but we fight because... Why do we fight? We fight because we're important, when someone's important. He has his guidelines. He makes guidelines, he makes study, he works out what to do and how to do it. That's when someone is important. When you're not important, when you know you're nothing, when you're a serf, when you're just a lowlife, a lowly person, even not a lowlife, a lowly person, you know you're lowly, so then you don't care, you're a janitor, maybe it's easier, you don't have the biggest pride if you're a janitor. You clean up, it's the way it is, let's say, maybe. Say maybe not, but you're still a serf, if you're just a regular, you're in the mud all day, so you don't feel important, so you don't take offense so easily. So this priest, he said, that's a very creative way of explaining away my question. But I mean, the obvious true conclusion is that the chosen people is us and not you. Because, you know, you're fighting because you're bad. That's the obvious truth. You want to say something different. I mean, presumably you'll have to prove it. So the Maharal said, it's not a problem. I can definitely prove it very easily. What happens when a Jew is in trouble? When a Jew is in trouble, we help him drop our fights more than non-Jews. So now why is that? Why? How come? Where does that come from? We're bad, right? That's why we're fighting, right? He said, no, we're not bad. We're good, but we have a lot of stubbornness, which is not the greatest, and we have to use it properly. He says, in a way, the stubbornness is what is the Jewish character. The Jewishness is from the stubbornness, because that's what enables us to do what we need to do. We have a fire, we have a spark, and it's going to make us do great things, which non-Jews usually have to find exceptional people to do what Jews are doing. They're doing incredible things. If it's in stuff, if it's in terms of whatever it may be, there's a fire driving a Jew. He says even, they might even be the worst criminals too. The fire is misused, destroyed. He said, but there's a fire there. So again, a non-Jew, it's rare to find that fire. And if you find it, it usually comes in from upbringing, or there's a special spark there. So we say Shalei Sani Goy, that you gave me this spark, this special, special calling, this special stubbornness, this willfulness, this strength, this fire. That's what it's about. But not that I think Chas V'Shalom is no good or something to this effect. And that's in terms of Shalei Sani Goy. There's a different bracha also. Now, so studying Yisrael, this version seems to be basically a misprint. This doesn't exist. And again, because of what Rav Chaim Lublin said, because God didn't make you Yisrael. God made you a Jew, yes, but he made you have the ability to act like a Jew and be a Jew. A Jewish quality. It's not. There's something missing. Rabbi Nachman said, when we talk about non-Jews, we also mean Jews who are far away. They're not non-Jews. They have potential. It's there. Something there. That spark is there. But if it's misused, they don't have a connection, so the damage is done by non-Jewish noise. They're part of it. It's not like it's just this one or just that one. So that's the bechina of Shlois Sanigur. And then we're already on the topics. We have Shlois Sanigisha and Shosanik Yitzono.
I was thinking of Rabbi Nachman saying, look for a good point, and you're down, look for a good point. When you have not a good point, think that you're true.
No, okay. Say Shalei Sani Goy. Because Hashem made me a
no,
Jew.
No.
You made me a Jew. You can't say Shalei Sani Yisrael. It's not like that. We're also called Bnei Yaakov. You're a different
one.
Just wasn't
hard. But his question was, he said, true, they not keep commandments, it's not like a Jew.
No. Okay, there's two different things. First of all, there's an aspect where there's a deep inner aspect where there's something very, very pure in Jew. And that's what Tzadik says, it's not really affecting who he really is. You can break through and break out. And I was a Zohar, again, you have to be on the right side, not on the wrong side. You have to have a sfut. Your heart has to open up for Hashem. You have to have help. It's like, open up. So that's on the one hand. So when a person's, he's sort of trapped, the spark is trapped in a bad place. He doesn't escape. He's making blemishes. He's messing up. On the contrary, when a Jew does something that's wrong, it's worse than a non-Jew. because he has a calling to do things that are better. This is its own pathways to joy, actually. This is the own path, the own path to joy of, which one is this? The Shai Guru Mantra. I guess transforming the bad to good. No. That every action, every movement of someone who's far is worth more than someone who's near. Why? Because it's harder for him. Okay, what does it mean? Why is it worth more? What does that mean? Why is it worth more for so you say on a simple level, it's harder for him. It's harder for me. And it's for you. You grew up with it. I don't know anything about it. And here I'm trying to do this mitzvah and it's so hard. So lefum tzara agro, the more the pain, the more suffering, the more the reward. But there's a much deeper way of understanding. And that's tomorrow to understand. If you want, we'll do it on tomorrow. Monday, God willing. Remember, because I don't think I'll be a Sunday. That's a whole its own thing. What do you mean? He's Jew, right? But he's doing things that are pogem mitzad echad on the one hand.
It's because not keep this book, because void the world.
In a way, but it's a totally its own thing.
Yeah.
It's a different thing entirely. Understanding our actions, and what Rav Nachman was talking about usually was a Jew who was religious and went off. Rav Nachman started off not religious. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
He was religious, and religious meant not like today. He was religious, and he goes two steps, and the street is terrible. Not necessarily. His time it wasn't that way. Later it got worse. People had a certain modicum of modesty. Usually, even though not Jews, people there were good things going on. We fight a community very often for hundreds of years. And to go off from it might feel like just out. You can't even imagine how serious it was. And today it's like people not even know what you're like, what are you talking about? It's a totally different, people know what you mean. Like, what do you mean? What's yeshiva? You know yeshiva? This, that. He doesn't have any idea. He's clueless. It's a really important question, and I hope I'll remember to do it to talk about it on Monday. It's a different one. It's a totally different one of understanding where a person is and how a person is. So we're not really talking about that. He's also talking about waking up the good that's always there, that spark that's always there. And it's an easier way to explain it. Not necessarily through that child good and the lukatarachas and whatever it is, but just on a simple thing that we could not. But a simple, there's a spark that's good, it's unsullied, you want to wake that up, and that's by seeing the good. If you don't want to connect, you want to connect him to the good. Zamra means you give importance, you have joy, you value the good in him, and then it connects and makes it real for him. You can feel it. That's what you want. But it's there anyway, it's not real yet, it's not polished, it's hard.
Every Jew has an ignition.
Uh-huh.
Is every Jew have an ignition key?
That's another incredibly wonderful question. That question is there's a story with the Magid, I'll tell you. The Magid of Dubna. The ones that's Maskilim, they came in the Magid of Dubna. They said, okay, Rabbi, we hear you tell over these great parables, but we don't want to hear any Torah. No Torah, no Musar. Just tell us a story with a lesson. Because that's important. Maybe, if you're lucky, we'll put it to university. They had incredible chutzpah to ask him this question. And he gave them a little, what we call in Yiddish, a patch and bun him, smacked them in the face. Not with his hand, with his story. He said, okay, not a problem. He said, once there was a talent man who went to the big city. And he's going around, he's looking at the wonderful sights. He's never been here. He's from this little hamlet. And he sees this, and he sees that. What do I take home? What do I do? And finally goes to a blacksmith and sees the bellows. How he makes the fire bigger. It's a spark in it. It's a fire bigger. He didn't see the spark. So he thought it's a fire-breathing machine. Wow! Fire generator. How much is that? So the person quoted him a price that seems incredibly cheap. It's like no mechanism. It just seems to blow. And you focus or something in his mouth and just make a fire. Great, awesome. He pays him. He's at home, calls the whole city of 20, I don't know who people are there, come to the town square. Now we're going to do fire. Nothing as the wood is. He did it the same way that blacksmith. He didn't know to make your fun spark. He's furious. He goes back to the city. What is it? It was cheap, but it doesn't work. You gave me a defective. That's why it's so cheap. Well, you didn't try it without a spark. You can't make a fire without a spark, right? Come on. You know that. Oh, and his spark. He said, I wouldn't tell you Torah Muster anyway. There's no spark. Can't ignite you. No ignition. Impossible. Forget it. So that was like a very strong. Well, again, they deserved it. So they told Rav Nassim the story. Rav Nassim said, "You know, yeah, of course, and it's obvious. They deserved it. They have a chutzpah. You go to some this important rabbi who's helping people. He's very, very sympathetic, a great person. You tell him, I don't want to hear. Don't tell me, you know, Torah and Muslim. I don't know, chutzpah. You ever heard of such a chutzpah? We're secular. Tell us something secular. I mean, like, it's crazy. It's incredible chutzpah. But it's not true." He said, "There certainly is a spark. But you need the right fellows to be able to reach that spark. Not everyone has the way to reach. You can't reach it, but there is an ignition to every spark. But how do you reach it? That's the question. That's the Rebbe has the power to reach. We don't even understand beyond." Yeah, I heard stories. You just hear countless stories of it happened to my cousin's story. I read one, and then he's like, "Yeah, this happened with me, someone else. This guy was in Singapore. He came from a Hasidic house. He went off totally ugly. I don't know exactly what he was doing there, and not living alone and not in a good place. And somehow he came to him, and I don't even know why, maybe business, I'm not sure. Of course, someone convinced him, he went, okay, he says to me, Foley, blah, blah. And then just trying to feel something very powerful. And he wanted to chew him. Just woke up and he had no idea. I can't believe this. What happened? I didn't come here for this. I don't understand this. It just happened." There's another story with a guy who was a lawyer, two lawyers in the office, and one guy was also, he had been released and went off. And his friend, the lawyer, his co worker, his friend, he said, "You know, we're going to a lawyer's convention in Ukraine, or not far from Ukraine, or maybe it was a deal, whatever it was, we're going to do something in the area. And it's right after Rosh Hashanah. Come to Uman. I mean, like, you're going to be there anyway." "I don't know, Uman. What's the point? A little town in the grain. Yeah, come." "Well, if you really think so." I mean, they were trying together anyway. It's like, "Okay, well, I'll do it. Okay, why not?" They come to the apartment. It's a few days before Rosh Hashanah. Everyone's very intense. And, you know, he sort of, he doesn't want to push this guy. You know, the guy's not religious. He came, you know, well, why not? He knows where the Tzion is, you know, where not where it is. People are going, but he doesn't go. Day one, day two, day three. He just doesn't bother visiting. Doesn't go, doesn't do anything. Just sits in his house or goes out to town, whatever he's doing. And Rosh Hashanah, yeah, around 12, they come back after the fast. They wonder if they're going to break their fast. You know, it's after midday. He says, "You know, maybe I'll check it out." He goes over to Tzion. And it's 2, and it's 3, and it's 4, and it's 5. Disappeared. Did he, like, go to town from Tzion? I mean, it seems a little strange, you know? I don't know, maybe. And it's 6. It's like almost a shkia. And he comes into the house, his tear-streaked eye, he's like puffy eyes, he's been crying obviously for hours. "Please give me tefillin right now. I need tefillin. Give me tefillin." Like, well, just totally. It was no bothering going. You show up and you just. Something happens. So powerful. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're just so chibur. We can get to. So you have to be able to wake up that spark. How do you do that? That's the question. How do I wake up that spark? You know? But that's the real bottom line. So that's today's. That's the joy, is just being thankful that we have this spark. We have this fire. We have this gift from Hashem. And the Rebbe says, Ramchal also says this, although in his own way, Ramchal says you can't, a Jew, the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is a Jew can't blow it. A non-Jew can blow it. I can become a mother, but a Jew can't do it. He's going to for sure have something good. He can't. Impossible. That's Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. In him, forces, it's going to for sure be. That's just the way it is. For that goodness in his society has to express itself somehow, some way. So Ibn Nachman said there are Jews who become self-hating Jews, who don't like Jewishness, they don't like religiosity, and they want to uproot any good within their neshama. So that when they just about get to that place where they're about to ruin it, they die. Can't live. Can't live. Then it dies. That's what Ibn Nachman said. Everyone has that spark. How do I get the spark going? There is an ignition, but we might not have the key. We have to find the key. That's what Rustin said. He said, the Leman Shif is a very complicated, truth, deep, deep explanation of the Gemara. And very, very, very deep. Very, very, very deep. And Rustin said, I can explain any of them to you, no problem. But to show you the way into another Jew's heart, what gives him a healthy, balanced, broken heart, to really change? I have no idea. No way of fathoming. There's just no way to know. How do you know? How can you tell? Just to find existence in a little expression just wakes the person up. A little something just wakes the person up. And just takes off. And we don't know how to access that. How do I turn on the ignition? I don't know how. Oh, sure.